Welcome to the Crypto Gamer Podcast, your source for finding fun and profits in crypto games. I'm your slightly knowledgeable host, Nate. In this episode, we are going to be talking about Skyweaver, which is a trading card game that is hoping to compete with the likes of Splinterlands and Gods Unchained. But unlike those two games, Skyweaver really pushes back against any type of pay-to-win gameplay and allows you to get every single card in the game for free, if you play enough, that is. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. So Skyweaver is actually still in closed beta, and it's a little difficult to get involved in. I signed up a couple months ago, and it took about a month for me to get my beta code. And then I started playing through it, going through the tutorials and everything, and sort of getting a grasp of what the gameplay is like. So this game was built by Horizon Blockchain Games, who also created the Sequence Wallet. And they've actually said that you will need a Sequence Wallet in order to use this game and to store your NFTs. Along with that, this game also runs on the Ethereum blockchain, and right now, as far as their native token, there is none. Currently in the beta phase, you use TestDai, which is DAI, which is a stablecoin, but TestDai has no value and can't be traded, which this is going to change once the game comes out. They're going to use real DAI. I think this could be a good decision that could prevent this game's market from collapsing, as we've seen with other games' tokens. When the game becomes a little less popular or something happens, the token declines, and that ultimately sort of kills the game. But with Skyweaver using DAI, which stays at $1 because it's a stablecoin, that could sort of keep the game relevant and going, and I think it takes a lot of pressure off the developers, honestly. With that, let's see how we play this game and earn crypto. So like I said, it's still in closed beta, so you can't technically earn yet or sell things, but that will change once they finally go into full launch. So Skyweaver is a browser-based game, so no downloads required at all, which is nice, but they do give you an option to download a desktop client if that's sort of your preferred method of playing. And just like in many other deck builder games, you control a hero and then face off against an opponent. You will then take turn playing cards strategically until one of your heroes is dead. So we've seen this gameplay before a few times from other blockchain games and also older games like Hearthstone and Magic the Gathering. This game, however, has some other features that really change things up a bit. And I have to say there is a ton of depth in this game. Even though they are still in closed beta, there's a whole lot going on. There are a ton of different cards and abilities and lots of different synergies going on. So since this is a deck builder game, the cards are the most important thing in the entire game, which seems very obvious. So let's get into the type of cards and sort of how they compare to other similar games. First off, instead of classes, they have what are called prisms. And these sort of differentiate the cards into five different groups. So agility, heart, intellect, strength, and wisdom. And just like classes in other games, these prisms limit which cards you can use in a deck. So you can only have one or two different prisms in a deck that you are using. So similar to Hearthstone, if you're a priest deck, you can only use priest cards, or a rogue deck can only use rogue cards, but instead they call them prisms instead of classes. Now, Skyweaver also takes this a step further and also implements a second layer of synergies, and they call these elements. And they are air, dark, earth, fire, light, metal, mind, and water. So a lot more here. And so you can have a heart deck with air elements or dark elements. So there's like a ton of different synergies that you can consider, especially in these early times of the game. Now, as far as elements, the developers have said that they haven't completely fleshed this out yet, but they say that they will be very important later on. Now, with all of this going on inside the cards, there are three overarching type of cards. So there's units, spells, and enchants. Now, most people will be familiar with units and spells. Units are simply the characters that stick to your board and form your army. Then, the spells are the magic cards that can do damage to characters or enhance a card's ability. And lastly, enchants are sort of the new mechanic here, which I actually really enjoy. So enchants are only ever found attached to units or heroes. And this gives them special abilities if you pay more mana. So say you play an enchanted unit with 4 health. The enchant may be pay 2 more mana for 2 more health. So it really opens up a lot of different possibilities if you want to really power up a card or play a special effect. This is something that a lot of other card games have not implemented, where there's a secondary thing that you can play later on, sort of like a delayed effect. So I really like this mechanic. I think it adds a lot of different gameplay abilities that other card games are missing. So, along with all the other types of prisms and synergies that I called out, there's also going to be 13 different keywords that trigger different effects in cards. So there's just a ton of stuff going on here. It really makes it difficult for someone new who might be not familiar with deck builders, and it'll be really difficult for them to find their footing. They really just throw you in the deep end, which may not be great and may discourage a lot of new players. Now, for the base card set, there's going to be 500 cards, which is a ton for a game just starting out. I think for Hearthstone, they had like 150 for their first season, and then they gradually grew from there. So 500 is a ton. You can tell the developers have really taken their time in sort of fleshing this game completely out. You'll be able to unlock all of these base cards by completing matches and accumulating XP and leveling up. So all base cards can be unlocked entirely for free, which is pretty new, honestly. A lot of other games do not let you unlock every single card because they want you to pay some money, they want you to grind a little bit more. And don't get me wrong, there will be grinding in this game, but even if you're terrible at this game, you will be eventually able to get every single card without paying any money. So these base cards, they are not tradable, they are not on the blockchain, they are just sort of standard bearers in this game. The cards that you can trade and that are NFTs are the silver and gold cards, and those will be the main ways that you can make money. So let's start with silver cards. They are the tradable versions of base cards, like I said, and if you own a silver card, you can sell them, trade them, gift them to other players, which is pretty nice, collect obviously, and play with them. And the developers say that there's 4 different things between silver cards and base cards, but really there's only one. Yes, you acquire them in different ways, but the main difference is that it's pretty much a skin for your card. So it shows other players, the people that you're playing, that you've unlocked a special card. It has a silver lining around the border rather than the purple base card border. And that's kind of the only difference. And that may hurt them with the NFTs being the same as the regular cards that you have. Now, as far as how you get these silver cards, they can be acquired in 3 different ways: by ranking at the top of leaderboards each week, by purchasing them on the market, or by winning conquest matches, which I will get to a little bit later. Now, on to gold cards. These are the trophy version of cards that are created and acquired by winning all 3 matches in a mode called Conquest, which is supposed to be pretty difficult. In order to enter this Conquest mode, you either have to trade in one of your existing silver cards or pay 1 Dai token, which is $1. It will always be $1 because Dai is a stable coin once again. So, in Conquest mode, you have to win 3 times in a row. If you have 0 wins, you will only win XP and you won't get any cards. 1 win will give you 1 tradable silver card and XP. 2 wins will give you 2 tradable silver cards and XP. And 3 wins will get you 1 tradable gold card, 1 tradable silver card, and some XP. So an interesting way that they're sort of creating value here by making it difficult to get gold cards. They've also said that gold cards will have a limit, so there's not just going to be an infinite amount of them, because if that was the case, then they would really have no value. But sort of like silver cards, they're once again pretty much just a skin to sort of show off how good you are at this game. Now, as far as the many different gameplay types that they have, of course, like I mentioned, there's a tutorial where you learn how to play, and for the most part, they do a good job of teaching you all of the mechanics. But once you start realizing that the tutorial keeps going on and on and on because there are so many different types of cards and ways that you can play, it really starts getting intimidating pretty quickly. You can also practice against a bot, although you can only earn XP playing the bot until level 15. There is also ranked mode, which is where you will really compete for most of the silver cards. And this is where you will battle against opponents and climb the leaderboard. Now, there will be weekly ranked rewards as well as monthly ladder rewards. So a few different ways to get these silver cards, And what's really kind of interesting is there's two different ranked modes. There's Discovery and Constructed. Now, Constructed is sort of like it sounds. You construct a deck that you think is really strong, and then you go against other people who are making constructed decks. Now, what really interests me is the Discovery mode, and that's where I had more of my fun. And really, this appeals to me because I've never been very good at constructed decks. Even when I was playing Hearthstone for years, I always had to look online for what were strong decks and then sort of learn them slowly. I'm not good at figuring out the perfect synergies, so Discovery mode, I think, will really attract a lot of new players. And what happens here is you get a deck of randomized cards from a hero of your choice, and then you will play someone else who also has this random deck. So it really mixes things up. A lot of people can get into the habit of playing the same cards over and over and over again. I know, like I said, most of my experience is in Hearthstone, so that's where all my stories come from. The meta would only change, you know, every 3 months, so I would play the same exact cards for 3 months as soon as I found a deck that I really liked, which got kind of boring. Lastly, the only other mode is a private mode where you can challenge friends, which is nice, and just like the bot, you can only earn XP up to level 15 playing this way. So a lot of different ways to play, a few different ways to earn silver and gold cards, and I think that's very impressive, especially since we're still in a closed alpha period. Alright, my final verdict. Skyweaver seems like a great addition to the crypto trading card space, and I think it really does offer some differences from Gods Unchained and Splinterlands. Out of these three, I actually think Skyweaver has the best artwork. I think it's the only part of the game, unfortunately, that is the best though. Gods Unchained and Splinterlands offer far more in terms of opportunity to earn money. I think Skyweaver making all of the cards available to earn for free through simply gaining experience works for them, but it also could hurt them. Having the tradable cards that are really just special skins could really hurt their market, but the fact that it looks like they are going to use DAI as their cryptocurrency will relieve a lot of the pressure that they may feel. My only other issue is that I feel like even in the closed beta, this game has too many card aspects and will be really confusing to first-time players, even if you go through the tutorial. In a perfect world, you start with relatively simple mechanics, and then through different seasons add more and more mechanics, but it feels like they have 3 or 4 years worth of gameplay mechanics already thrown in. I mean, having 13 keywords right off the bat, even in closed beta, I think is crazy. That's way too many, and even with someone who is pretty experienced with keywords, I was looking them up even after playing for a few weeks. So I feel like that level of depth may interest veterans in this space, but not a lot of outsiders. This game is worth a look, and lots could change since this game is still in closed beta. I, however, would not expect this game to earn you much currency, let alone as much as you might earn in Gods Unchained or Splinterlands. Alright, that's all for today. Thanks for listening, and if you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe and throw a review my way. It means a lot, and it also helps to grow my channel. You can also follow me on Twitter and on Instagram for when future episodes come out. Details will be in the show notes. Also, feel free to message me on what you're playing or what you want to hear in the future. Thanks, and happy NFT hunting!